We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You guys can go ahead and have a seat this morning. Thank you guys for being here. I'm excited that you guys are here. Thank you, praise team. I didn't realize Mr. Joel had it in him. That was pretty good. I liked it. You know, sometimes things don't always go as planned. If you guys don't know that, I'm just going to let you know. Sometimes things don't go as planned. And today was a good example of that. Way to step up, praise team, and fill in the gap. So I thank you guys for that. I thank you guys for being welcome online. Pastor Kent is in Carthage today, and so I'm honored to get to speak to you today. And it's not very often that I get to be up here. A lot of times I preach, I preach at the Carthage campus. And so I was telling Heather that I get to get excited and I don't have to wait for an interpreter and I can just talk real fast. And I'm looking forward to it. So I thank you guys for being here. And I had a surprise this morning. My dad, Mike, and Uncle Phil flew in to be with us this morning. So thank you guys for being here. And I'm just honored that you guys chose to come to church today. That's a big deal. Amen. We need to celebrate that. So I'm celebrating that you guys are here today. So I thank you for that. And I was praying this week. I found out maybe a little over a week ago that I was going to be speaking. And Pastor Jim talked about that Tuesday morning prayer. It is a powerful time. And so I was praying about today. I was praying about what I was going to speak on. And you know, it was right after our Easter service and what a celebration we had last week. We had the baptisms and baby dedications and the members and it was just a good time in the Lord. It was a celebration. Every week technically should be a celebration, but it was a great week as we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. But here we are again this week, and I was praying on Tuesday, and I was thinking about what that must have been like that first week after that resurrection. Think about the roller coaster of emotions that these guys, the disciples, might have been going through. And I started studying on this and praying about it. And I think the Lord gave me a message for today that I'm going to share with you. But before I get into that, I want to just talk about maybe what that looked like that first Resurrection Sunday. And just think about the highs and lows that these men and women might have been going through. I wrote down, just kind of went through my Bible and just kind of wrote them all down. And I think about going all the way back to Palm Sunday. You know, that triumphal entry. You guys know the story, right? Jesus came in riding on the colt of a donkey. And by the way, we found out from our nativity that not all donkeys are tame, right? Yeah. So just that is a pretty big miracle if you ever, you know, been on a colt of a donkey. But just seeing that and seeing how he was received, the king. You know, can you imagine as they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Imagine how exciting that was for the disciples that have been following Jesus so closely over the last three or so years. And then seeing that the magnificent, that people are getting it. They're saying, yes, it's finally happening. Here he comes, coming into Jerusalem. Think about that. A hero's welcome. That had to have been pretty big high. Had to have been. And then going through the whole week, you know, it talks about how, you know, Jesus went in and cleared the temples and flipping tables. And this is just a little side note, but if you don't know this, I'm a little bit competitive, you know, on some things. And Heather and I, one time, we played Monopoly. And I'm happy to say we're still married happily today. But this one time, we played Monopoly, and I might have been losing. And I remember that, and this has been some years ago, and we still have yet to play again. But I remember that I might have been losing, and she said, "I'm done. I'm going to bed." And you know, I'm like, "Nope, nope, no, we're not. You're either forfeiting or we're finishing this game." You know, and so I think about, you know, what would Jesus do? I'm thinking about him flipping those tables, right? No, that would not be a correct response. If I remember right, you forfeited, I think, but. It's been a while ago, you know. it was pre-kids, I know that. So, so anyway, think about Jesus coming in. Triumphal entry, hero's welcome, right? The Messiah. He's going in, he's clearing the temples. As we kind of go through the week, he says he's healing the blind and the lame. And he's teaching some powerful message in this time. If you don't know, kind of look at the timeline, some powerful messages as he's teaching in this time. And I mean, just being a guy who's a visual guy, this is where Jesus cursed the fig tree and it withered up. I mean, I just don't think that's something you forget, right? We kind of read it and overlook it, but that's a big deal. Jesus cursed a tree and it just withered. You know, they're thinking this, wow. You know, just making kind of light of it, but I'm thinking, man, I hope he doesn't say anything bad about me. You know, if he sees this fig tree wither up. But think about these highs and how this is going on. And then you guys know the stories. He's questioned. He's antagonized. Like he is trying to be caught in a trick or a way to capture Jesus in his words by the religious leaders. We see where Mary comes and anoints Jesus and with the perfume and not only is it just that happening, and you know, one of the disciples didn't like it. You guys know the story. But by the way, it was in Lazarus's house, who was just raised from the dead, and everybody knew it, and they're sitting in the house that was once a dead man, and he is alive, and they're celebrating, and it's just it's a big deal. They're seeing all these things coming together, not to mention all the things they'd seen in the ministry, but this week was so powerful. And then we see it at the Last Supper. Jesus talks about how one's going to betray him, and they're kind of asking, who's it going to be? He talks about the bread, and he talks about the cup, and he's telling them how remember me. Remember me. The body that's about to be broken for you. The blood that's about to be shed for you. He's saying, remember me. And so I'm imagining that this is kind of maybe a somber time. They've had some highs, right? But they're soaking all this in. And then you guys know the story as Jesus goes to pray. And the passion of those prayers. And then here comes the betrayer, Judas. Peter, I relate with Peter a lot. He cut a guy's ear off, right? He's a reactor, and he just cut a guy's ear off. And then, you know, Jesus had to heal right there, the guy's ear. Just think about your blood pumping. Jesus goes before trial. Judas hangs himself. Jesus is mocked, beaten, flogged, and then crucified. And then, so we're talking about highs and lows here. Just let's talk about that day for just a second. The darkness that came over the whole land. The curtain of the temple that was not only on the holy, but the holy of holies, ripping from top to bottom, representing that God's presence was no longer there. It was not needed to be in a temple anymore. And it wasn't just a little curtain. This was a thick thing. It had to have been an act of God. The earthquake, rocks splitting, and people who had, it said the holy people who had been dead, raised to life and walking in the streets. We don't really show that on most of the Easter stories, right? But that's in Matthew 27, 52, and 53. I think people took note of that. Somebody who, you know, great-grandpa all of a sudden walking, saying hi to me again. I'm thinking, that's a big deal. People knew what was going on. It's a big deal. But yet there Jesus was. His body was dead. That's a low. The disciples are scared. It says they scattered and ran. Good on the women for actually following, you know, to find out where the body was laid. In a brand new tomb, we know it was Joseph of Arimathea, who was a follower of Jesus. And that Saturday, their Sabbath. But then came the morning. And then imagine going from these highs to the lows, and then imagine the reports of the ladies coming back and saying, guess what? Guess what? The tomb, it's empty. It's empty. I have seen the Lord. Imagine the excitement that must have come. And it said, you know, I like how John, he cracks me up. He talks about how Peter took off first, but, you know, then the one that Jesus loved, you know, passed him by, right? And once again, I relate to Peter. There's probably a lot that were faster runners, but he had to go see it for himself. And so as we look at all those things that happened right there, I'm going to go through them just briefly so we can see what this looks like. Because what I want us to do today is we know that Jesus was on earth for 40 days. He showed himself over to 500 witnesses in this time. And then add a few more days, and at the 50 days is when Pentecost comes. So when we look at this, we can kind of look and see what this looked like that first weeks after resurrection. On that Sunday, the tomb is empty. That's in all four Gospels. We see where Jesus speaks to Mary of Magdalene in the garden in Mark 16 and John 20. He talks to the other women in Matthew, says in 28. And then the two that are walking on the road, and he comes and he talks to them. That's talked about in Mark 16 and Luke 24. And in Luke 24, Peter's talked to, and also the 10 disciples in the upper room, and that's also in John chapter 20. The following Sunday is when all 11 disciples were there, and you see that in Mark 16, John 26, and in Acts 15. And sometime in that 40-day period, we read about the disciples that were fishing. And you guys know the story. Of course, they've been fishing. And Jesus said, well, why don't you throw it out one more time? And it cracks me up that by the time they got there, he was already cooking fish. You know, he's always providing. He's always got a little overflow already ready for us. And that's, you know, another time when the disciples see him. And then the 11 disciples, as they go to the mountain and they get the Great Commission that we call the Great Commission, and we see that in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. And then in Luke 24 and Acts 1 is when we see as Jesus is risen up and ascends into heaven. Can you imagine the highs and lows that these guys are experiencing during this time? And so Tuesday morning, I was praying about this, and I was getting excited about what the Lord's kind of putting together and how the timeline of what this looks like. And I thought about what an exciting time that must have been. You see, during this time, this is when the church, what we call the church, is being birthed. At Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit comes, and there's a filling of the Holy Spirit that's followed with signs and wonders. And you see the difference in what once were some common men. Some were fishermen. Some were probably some sort of tradesmen. We know Matthew was a tax collector. And we see how these common men who were once hiding in an upper room, right? It says they scattered in fear. We saw where Peter even denied knowing Jesus before that rooster crowed. And we see these same men that there's a transformation happening. And all of a sudden, they are the men that are so full of spirit-filled boldness. They're standing before the Sanhedrin, the same people who put Jesus on the cross, and they're saying it is by Jesus whom we cannot stop talking about, and it is by Jesus' name that men are being healed, and Jesus' name that this is not going away. And they're threatened and they're beaten, and they even say that they are happy that they're worthy to be beaten for the cause of Christ. Those same men, there is a transformation that is happening in this time period. It's exciting. It's exciting to think about how the church is being formed. I was thinking about the two old boys on the road, you know, walking. And Jesus came along. You guys know the story, right? He comes along and they say this line. Cracks me up. Everybody knows what's going on, right? This is a big deal. Excuse me. Luke 24:18, when Jesus comes upon them they don't know that it's Jesus just yet, right? They say, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened there in these days? Can you imagine the humility when they figure out that that was Jesus? But it was such a big deal of what was going on. Everybody knew about it. There's even accounts where Roman historians talk about the days when Jesus was crucified and rose. The world knew what was going on. It was that exciting. And so as I think about those first church leaders, I think about this transformation from being a follower to one of the first apostles that launched the church. And the Holy Spirit coming in, the power of the not only the indwelling, but the filling of the Holy Spirit. So they had that power, not because of them, not because of their flesh, because of the power of God in them that launched this church. And I thought about how do we get this excitement today? It's the same church. It's the same Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that was then is in us now. Are we excited about that? Are we excited about the free gift that God has given us? We talked a little bit about that at Sunrise Service last week. And so whenever we talk about the transformation, that's where the title of today's message came from. Before you can lead, you must be a follower. And I was praying about that, and I was kind of thinking about, you know, what that looks like for us. And for me, that was a term that we used in the military a lot. You know, to be a good leader, you got to be a follower. And so I was kind of putting that together. But talk about one of the greatest examples of men that were true followers, the closest followers of Jesus, and they turned around in a transformation and they became leaders. Are we willing to be a follower today so that when the time comes, we can lead? Are we willing? I think about the half-brothers of Jesus, and we call them the half-brothers because their father was Joseph. We know Jesus was born of the virgin, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit came in, and that's how Jesus came to be, because he was not born into sin like we are. But his own brothers, you know the story in Matthew and Mark, where, you know, Jesus couldn't even hardly perform any miracles in his own town. Very few, because of their lack of faith and their unbelief. In John 7 verse 5 says, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. Can we relate with that today? Can you relate with maybe you're in your faith walk that you got family members that don't even believe it to be true? That won't come alongside you? That will say, yeah, right, I know him. I can relate with that. You preach in the same town you partied in, you hear it a little bit. But praise God that the fruit speaks for itself. Praise God that he fights our battles for us. All we have to do is be still and let him do his work. So if that's you, I can relate with you. I can relate with you. But we also know that James and Jude, later after the resurrection of their half-brother, Jesus Christ, the man, God, that was here on earth, the third part of the Trinity, right? They believed. And not only did they believe, they became leaders in the church. We read about James and Jude in the New Testament that we call the part of the Bible today, their letters that they wrote. So talk about a transformation since somebody that was so close to him was raised with him in the flesh. And they went from a non-believer to being willing to die a martyr's death. See, these are all confirmation that Jesus is alive today. Amen? Because no one's going to go to death for what they believe to be a lie. Nobody. And these are all men and women who went from being followers or maybe even unbelievers to leaders in the church. When the time came, they took that opportunity, they stepped to the plate, and they were ready to go. And so, church, I ask us today, are we ready to go? I think about that Great Commission. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16. We're going to look at both of these today. Mark chapter 16 is where this is also our mission statement here at Oakton. But Mark 16, we're going to start in verse 15. I'm reading out of the NIV this morning. And you guys have heard this before, but read with me. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." Hallelujah. Now turn with me back to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at another account where we would say the Great Commission and Jesus is speaking to his disciples. You know, the one of the things that a pastor gets to do, and I've learned this, is I get to speak at a lot of funerals. And one of the things that we hear about as time comes close to an end, people on this earth, they have this final push, final statement of something. And it usually has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with worldly possessions. It has everything to do with make sure you love your loved ones. Make sure you know what is right and wrong. Make sure you know where you're going. Make sure you follow Christ. Something along those lines, because it's getting real for those people. And then some people, we don't have that opportunity, and it just happens and that time comes. But imagine that Jesus is, he knows he's about to ascend, and there's something that he wants to tell his disciples. There's one last thing he says, "Hey, remember everything, but I need you to listen up right here." So in Matthew 28, we read, starting in verse 18, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age.'" So Oakton, here's where I'm at today. This seems simple, but if we don't do it, if we don't step up and actually take action, then what good are we doing? And I know that's bold and that's pushy, and I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toes. Remember, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1. But if the Holy Spirit is giving you a little nudge today, I encourage you to listen. You know, the teaching part, that would be the leader part. But what about the part where it says, "obeying everything I have commanded you"? Could we say that today? Can I stand here and say, Joe Costley's got it figured out? No. But I believe we got to keep trying. I don't know what we came in here with today, but I believe that all the answers we need are right here. But we got to do our part. We got to open it. We got to read it. We got to be in prayer. We got to make sure that relationship is getting built. You know, last week we had some awesome testimonies of some new believers and rededications, and we baptized, and Heather and I went, and we talked to all the youth, and I talked to one of the young men, and one of the big things we wanted them to know is this. This is the starting point. And by no means are you done. You can check the box and just do whatever you want. I don't believe that to be true. That's not how I read the Bible. This is the starting point. This is the launching pad for us to go out as we are a new creation in Christ whenever we have accepted Jesus into our heart and our Holy Spirit we receive him. And we explained how it's not going to be a nice little subtle escalator going all the way up, and we just get it all figured out, and we just get to stand there and ride on the little escalator, and it just takes us to the top. That's not necessarily how I see it to be true. But what I believe to be true is simply this: as long as we keep focusing on what Jesus did on that cross and he came out of that tomb, as long as we focus on him, he is going to make sure that he keeps our path straight. And it may not be a nice steady incline, and there might be some setbacks, but we keep driving forward. We keep taking steps forward. And if at any point we can look back in our faith walk and realize that maybe we haven't changed since the day that we accepted Christ, or we haven't changed in our maturity from a year ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever it is, if you don't see an increase in your faith walk, we got a problem. We got a major problem here. As I think about this, I think about what Paul says. Paul says simply, we got to make sure that we're moving from milk to the meat. Where are we at today? I think about if you can look back in your journey and you look back and you're at the exact same spot you were a year ago or 5 years ago or 13 years ago, whatever it is, there's a flat line right there. I think about the heartbeat monitor, right? When you're flatlined, you're dead. You guys seen the movies? They come with the little shock pads, right? I'm not a medical. I don't know if that's legit or not. I've seen the movies. But if we're flatlined today, maybe you and I, we need a little jolt to the Holy Spirit. Maybe the Holy Spirit needs to come in and give us a shock and give us a nudge, and then it's up to us to listen or not. He doesn't make you. He says, I stand at the door and knock, but you got to open it. And then maybe you're in here today saying, Joe, you don't even know what I'm dealing with. I wish I was where I was a year ago, or 5 years ago, or where I was whenever I accepted Christ. But sometimes the truth is, sometimes life hits us a little harder than we expect, and we don't know how to receive it. Sometimes whenever you're cruising up a hill, and it accidentally pops into neutral, you don't go forward anymore. You start sliding backwards. You guys know I'm a Jeep guy, and my Jeep is no pavement princess, especially right now if you see it. It's seen some trails, okay? And one thing that I've learned in how to drive a standard as you're going up a hill climb is you have to be committed to whatever gear you're in. Because if you start going up a hill, a pretty steep hill, I got my lockers on, everything going, and all of a sudden I need to shift, I lose all momentum. All you guys with automatics, you don't know these troubles, right? As I'm looking at you, right? But if we allow ourselves to be popped into neutral and we just start coasting, we're supposed to be climbing up a hill, next thing we know, we start backsliding. And usually that's pretty ugly. It's not a glorious thing. And if that's you today, I can relate to you. See, that's part of my testimony. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for the mercies that we just sang about a little bit ago. And so whatever you came in here with today, let today be the day that you change. And when you walk out these doors, that you are forever different. Let today be the day that it doesn't matter if you've been flatlined or you've backslid, because James 4:8 says that if you take a step closer to God, he promises he's going to take a step closer to you. And it doesn't matter if you've gotten so far off the path you don't even recognize the life you're leading anymore. The promise is true. And the promise says, draw unto me and I will draw unto you. And all we got to do is take that step closer to him, and he is faithful and he is ready to take that step closer back to us. He is faithful. So as the praise team wants to start coming forward, I'm going to wrap it up. They're going to start playing behind me. And I want us just to just focus on what the Holy Spirit's doing. What's he talking to you right now? Are you to the point where you're ready to step up and lead in his church? That might be a Sunday school teacher. That might be a volunteer. I don't know what that looks like. You might be getting a calling into ministry. I know we have some men and women right now in this church that already have that calling. You know, what does that look like? Or maybe we just need to say, today I need to step up and be sure I'm even a follower. You came to church today. Good job. But let's let it be more than just attendance. Let this be the launching pad as we go into the week and we go making a difference. Let's think about what that excitement that first church had. It said that they prayed so hard that the walls shook. Sometimes I need my walls shaking a little bit. And I got to admit to you, just to be very transparent, there's some days I'm ready to tackle the world. There are some days I am ready to go storm the gates of hell because of what Jesus has done in my life. I'm ready. And if I'm being transparent, there's days that I'm thinking, how am I going and putting my boots on? And so the reason I tell you that today is if you're maybe you're not ready to go be a leader, but you're working on that being a follower first, I want to encourage you that none of us got it figured out. None of us could stand here today and say we've got it all figured out and we checked the box. I would say if you ever have a leader that says I've got it all figured out and you've checked the box, we need to be a little worried and we need to be praying for that person. But what I know to be true is that we can go to the Lord and we can be in his presence and he's going to pick us up no matter what our days look like. And he's going to make sure that he says, I got you. And he's going to come alongside and he's going to say, come on. Come on, get up. And he's going to come and take us and he's going to let us know that he's there for us. And he's going to let us know that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And he's going to let us know that no matter how much we've messed it up, he says, come on. He says, come on. I think about my boys. They fall down. I say, get up. I had a hero dad moment. My kids were playing on a jungle gym and they were dangling there and Asher's like, I need your help, Dad. I'm like, oh, you're figuring it out. Come on. And then I got caught. One of the other parents were like, really? He figured it out. Sometimes Jesus needs to come along and say, come on, little boy. Come on, little girl. Get up. Let's go. I have plans for you today. I have plans that only you can fulfill. Not your neighbor, not somebody down the street, not your pastor, but you, I got plans for you today. And it might be the day that he says, guess what? You've been following me. It's time to transition and I'm going to have you lead. I'm going to have you go get outside your comfort zone and go talk to somebody. I'm going to have you go pray with somebody. I'm going to have you come along beside somebody and bring them to church. Or lead them to Christ, then bring them to church. We don't know what our days hold, but so today I got just a few more questions as these guys are playing, and I think about if we can relate to one part of this story or another. Either way, let today be the day that we are changed from this point on. There's no more going backwards, no more backslide, no more flatlined or popping it in neutral. We say yes today, and we just keep moving and taking a step forward and taking a step forward. And even if there's a little bit of back pressure, we just keep moving forward because God has a plan for you. And his plan is going to be for the greater good. I can promise you that. He's going to make sure that he doesn't leave you ill-equipped. He's going to make sure that he has everything we need to do the job he has for us. He promises and he is faithful and we know that that is true today. So we're being the best follower we can be. I ask you, church, how we doing? And please know I'm looking within. I think I can do better. I think there's days I know I can do better. I think there's days I need to choose to get up, take my daddy's hand, and say, lead me, because I don't have the strength to do it on my own. And if that's you today, these altars are open. These guys are going to play a song, and let this time just be a time with you and the Lord. Because before we can lead, we got to be a follower. And we need to make sure we're following the one true King, the one who is alive today. And so I ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to sing. This is your time in the Lord. You don't worry about what anybody else is doing. This is your time to get right with God. And just because somebody, and I like to tell the youth this, just because somebody comes to these altars, it doesn't mean they've done anything wrong. It just simply means whoever is bold enough to step outside that comfort zone, they want to be in the presence of God, and we don't care what anybody else thinks. And that's what this altar time is about. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you have given us the great examples of how to follow and then to step up and lead. Lord, help us to catch that excitement that your first church had. And Lord, I ask that you help us to fan the flame of your Holy Spirit as we go and tell others about you. And Lord, if there is anybody in here today or maybe watching online that doesn't have this excitement dwelling up in them, Lord, I ask that you just light that fire today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come in. We're in expectation of what you're doing right here in your church, right here. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd fall upon us, fill us up with your presence, Lord. Have your way among us today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.